How many of y'all know there's a fight going on? If you're not in the battle, you become a what? There's a big fight going on. Amen. You know, the Spirit right now is just really, He's bringing refreshing and reminding. Refreshing and reminding. Because, you know, we're in a time right now where there is such a fight and such a struggle to stay in the Spirit that He's bringing refreshing and reminding. He's bringing revelation, and those who are willing to really seek Him truly with a pure heart, those who are really willing to die to self, which is a process of death, He's beginning to reveal hidden mysteries. He's beginning to reveal. He's beginning to visit people. You know? I mean, Jesus is visiting people all over the globe, man. It's powerful. And the ones that He's visiting, man, they're just going, boom. They're like, man, you know, I had a visit from the Lord and so forth. One of these days I want to write a book called First Encounter, you know. And, you know, they got so much demonic stuff out there of encounters. But the true everlasting change is when God touches you. And once He touches you, there is a thirst and hunger that comes in you that you don't want anything else. Now, sometimes it's very subtle. And sometimes it's like being slam dunked, you know. But we still must allow God to be God because He knows exactly what we need. And He prepares us and positions us to receive certain things. Sometimes there's something He's still dealing with us in a certain area of our life where He's removing something from us and He's putting light in us. So He begins to remove darkness and bring light. He begins to remove darkness. And darkness is a representation of deception. Amen? Amen? It's deception. And Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. And if he can deceive you, what he does is deceive you by putting fear on you. And the thing is that sometimes we don't realize where it came from. And we'll be reading the Word going and say, you know, you're not fighting flesh and blood, you're not doing this and whatever, and it's trying to bring us into the spirit realm, and sometimes we're going, why? What's up? How is this happening? And what am I fighting for? And one of the things is we're fighting for is God's presence. Because the power of darkness presence is everywhere too. Amen? So what we're doing right now is we're fighting. Remember, the ruler of this world is Satan. Amen? You come out of that rule when you come out of the world. When you come into Christ. Now, the Word says that even though you live in the world, but your fight is not according to the ways of the world. Amen? It's according to the ways of Christ. There are weapons that you and I have that God has given us. We got a wonderful teaching about the weapons of God and the keys that Jesus gave us. But there are certain things that, you know, one of the things that Jesus came to do is He came to expose wickedness. He came to expose the devil. And He came to expose His plan, His tricks. So many believers fall into deception because they don't know the trickery of the devil yet. They receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They go to church twice a week. But they really don't have that relationship so they can get the discernment to have that relationship to be able to see through the eyes of God. Amen? To be able to receive the things and as the heart begins to change. So yes, you and I are in a fight. And there's a true fight going on. And I want to share a few things about what Satan is really trying to do. But first, let's get a little foundation here. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Can everybody hear me? Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6. I mean, we ought to know this by heart. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Man, if we could really, really, really grab hold of this. You know, really grab hold of this. That we're not fighting those thoughts that you think that are yours. Hello? those fears, those deceptions, those doubts, those confusions, those bitterness. Amen. And the devil tries to tell you, run back to the world to get fulfillment. Amen. Amen. We're fighting powers of darkness, aren't we?
Yes.
Remember, addiction is a curse, isn't it?
Yes.
It's an inherited curse. Many of us have inherited a lot of things that are still hindering us. And we need to sever them from us. Amen. But they've come through spiritual arena. They have access to me and you through disobedience. Amen.
Amen.
So it's important that you and I learn the ways of God so we can walk in obedience. And the Bible says to make no place for the devil. It's our responsibility to make no place for the devil. Hey, listen. Healing is one of the promises of God, isn't it? Deliverance is a promise of God. But His perfect will is that we never be sick. That we never pick up another demon. You know, when it's hitchhiking and we want to give Him a ride. Hallelujah. In verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to... I'd like you to highlight that word stand. Maybe tattoo it on your head. No, tattoos are illegal, right? Hallelujah. We're going to do a teaching on accursed items soon. A whole teaching on it. But praise God. Listen, you and I are to stand. And that's what I want to talk about. Tonight's teaching is just a simple word. Stand. Stand. Just stand. Amen. Just stand. And verse 14, would you read it with me? Stand. How everybody say stand.
Stand.
Therefore. The word therefore means if you'll do this, you got a choice. Stand therefore, having what? Girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth, what? Boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now this is pretty powerful. One of the things he says is you need to stand. And what we need to stand is in the truth. We need to stand in the truth. We need to stand in His righteousness. We need to stand in His peace. We need to stand in faith. We need to stand in our redemption of salvation. We need to stand in the Word of God. And we need to stand in the Spirit. Hello? And the only way that you're going to do this, and he ends it, he says, pray for boldness for me, is to be bold. You can't be a wimp and try and stay in the Spirit. Wimps don't make it in the Spirit. Hello? You've got to hate evil. You've got to love righteousness. You've got to be able to fight. Remember, it says we don't wrestle or we don't fight against flesh and blood. But he's saying you're fighting against something else. So that means you've got to fight on your hands. And one of the things that you're fighting for is to stand. To stand in truth. To stand in His peace. To stand in faith. To stand in His righteousness. Amen? We're to stand, and you need to have boldness to stand, or you're going to walk out. Amen? We need to stand. Hello? Go to Romans 13. Glory to God. Romans 13. Praise you, Lord. I pray boldness over everyone tonight in the name of Jesus. I pray that boldness and that fire of God with boldness over you in the name of Jesus. Take that spirit of fear, choke him. Rip his head off. Cast him down. Amen? Use him for a welcome mat. Praise God, he's been using you for a welcome mat long enough. Oh, hallelujah. In Romans 13. Is everybody there in verse something? 12. Verse 12. Read it with me. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Hello? Let's put on the armor of light. We just talked about it, didn't we? It's called the full armor. Now, represent somebody too. Let's go on, verse 13. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Well, so you know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to stand fast in the Lord. Amen? But look, if you don't know the ways of the devil, you'll be deceived. And some people will think actually they're doing, remember what happened to Saul? He thought he was actually doing the things of God, trying to rescue people. He actually went out and began to kill his own brothers and sisters thinking he was doing the will of God. That's called deception.
Yes.
Amen? I mean, he knew the word of God inside out, didn't he?
Yes.
He was a Pharisee, came from a flock of them. But he was still coming against the move of the Spirit, wasn't he?
Amen.
One of the things that was killing him was his knowledge. Hello? It was killing him. The problem is he had all kinds of knowledge but no understanding. Because if he truly understood, he would have realized Jesus was the Lord. But he didn't. So he was so zealous for the letter that he wanted to kill. Instead of being zealous for the presence of God. Where he could have gotten free. And finally, Jesus had to slap him across the head and knock him off a horse. Said, this is my presence. Whoa. You know what the first words he said is? Okay, Lord. What do you want me to do? Let me tell you, when God touches you and he changes you and his presence comes upon you, that's what you're going to say. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? But one of the things we have to do is stand. Even after the revelation, you have to stand. When the revelation wears away, you have to stand. Hello? When the touch wears away, you have to stand. One of the things about the word stand is to be or to remain. Amen? To be or remain. Remember, belief and unbelief. Belief means that you believe in something, you're following the Lord. Unbelief means you cease. It means it's been taken. Amen? So one of the things that you and I need to do is stand fast in the Lord. Not be moved. But remain steadfast. You know one of the things that we must not do? Is change. I'm talking about going backwards. We're to change going forwards, but we're not to go change to go backwards. Amen?
Amen.
We must stand, and you got to have boldness. Now, there's two words that represent stand. It's called endurance and perseverance. Turn to James chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Two words that also represents the word stand is endurance, and perseverance. Glory to God. James chapter 1. Is everybody there? Almost there? Okay.
Almost there. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
And verse 12, would you read it with me? Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who what? Let me share something with you. That's the revelation right there. It says, promise to those who love. In other words, if you love him, you will endure. You might get beat up, you might get tripped up, but you're going to get up. You're going to stand and continue to go forward. Nothing is going to move you from your pursuit of fulfilling the will of God.
Amen.
Amen. No matter what, nothing is going to interfere with your pursuit to fulfill the will of God. That's stand. That's a part of enduring. Go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And verse 11. James chapter 5 and verse 11. Would you read it with me? Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. Praise God, blessed. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and see the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Now listen, Job went through hell on earth. Amen? But he endured, didn't he? He didn't curse God. He wasn't moved. He lost everything. Then God, what did God do? He blessed them twice as much, even more than that. Amen? Listen, there are times when you're going through stuff. In fact, you know as well as I do that the blessing always precedes endurance, trial and tribulation. Why? Because the devil sees, listen, the devil sees what's going on. Amen? He sees when God is getting ready to bless you. So he tries to move you out of position so that he can steal it. Amen?
Amen.
That's his purpose. He wants to steal it. But there's a lot more to it than you realize. So he's trying to get us moved. Sometimes just, hey listen, it only takes a moment sometimes to miss God. It just takes a moment. He might be trying to tell you something. And the devil gets your attention on something else. And you miss God. Next thing you find yourself in trouble. And you have to endure and persevere. But you can't let anything stop you from standing and continue on. Nothing must ever stop you. You can never consider even going back again. Never. That can't even be a choice in your life to go back. The only thing you can do is continue to go forward. Amen? Going forward. Go to Galatians 6. Whether you're sick, whether you're afflicted, whether you're tormented, no matter what you're going through, you must stand. Amen? You must stand. Whether you've blown it, when you got back up, you must stand. Galatians chapter 6. In verse 9, would you read it with me? A real simple scripture. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. In other words, the promise is coming. Let us not grow weary. Let us not stop. Let us continue to endure, persevere, and stand. Because it's coming. It's coming no matter what it is. It's coming. Your deliverance, your healing, your positioning, everything is on its way. No matter what. No matter what the devil may tell you. And he likes to tell us all kinds of stuff, doesn't he? And then what he likes to do is push us. He wants to convince us that God is holding something back and God's not going to do it, so you might as well. And we find ourselves in trouble, back in the flesh again, and having to endure all over again. Amen. Go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. We're going to stand. John chapter 10 and verse 7. Glory to the Lamb.
Glory.
Would you read it with me? Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Come on, read this with me. Verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. You know what? One of the things that we need to do is have life more abundantly. The only way you have life more abundantly is to be able to stand. Because one of the things that the devil is trying to do is steal that life more abundantly. Now I want to talk for a moment about these three things that he wants to do. The first thing it says he wants to what? Steal. Steal. What does he want to steal? He wants to steal your inheritance. Your birthright is what he wants to steal. Has everybody got it? He wants to steal your birthright. He wants to steal your inheritance. First of all, most people don't even know what they've inherited. Probably most of the body of Christ doesn't know what they've inherited. Now your inheritance comes through the blood of the Lamb. Hello? It comes through the blood of Jesus. What's your inheritance? Well, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Amen?
Amen.
You're blessed with everything. God says, "I hold nothing back from you."
Amen.
You're blessed with prosperity, power, love, and a sound mind. These are parts of your inheritance. Healing is a part of your inheritance. Deliverance is a part of your inheritance. Reconciliation. Hallelujah. Revelation. Manifestation. It's the part of your inheritance. But so many people don't know it, but the devil's trying to steal your inheritance. You know how many people have lost their inheritance because of lack of knowledge? Because they don't even know it. Remember the disciples in Acts 19. Remember the disciples in Acts 19. Remember they went into that area. Why don't we go there for a minute? And now keep your finger right here. Acts 19. Hello. Acts 19. Another part of your inheritance is salvation, isn't it? Jesus is your inheritance. Oh, hallelujah. Reconciliation of rescuing of your family members is your inheritance. And your house shall be what? Saved. Acts 19, starting in verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" In other words, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? He was talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." See, they didn't know their inheritance, did they? They didn't know that the gift and the promise of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was available to every believer. You know how many people are going to die and never get baptized in the Holy Ghost? So many people ask, "Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit?" I got baptized in water. No, that's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you don't know you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you haven't been. That's all I can tell you. If you don't know, you haven't been. Hello? Because something supernatural happens.
Yes.
And he said to them, and what were you baptized? Now these were disciples, and they didn't know their inheritance. So they said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, well, indeed, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to them that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. There was evidence.
Amen.
Something always manifests when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's always some kind of sign. Hallelujah. So what happened? Well, they didn't know about their inheritance, did they? They didn't know. Somebody had to tell them. Your inheritance comes through the blood of the Lamb. Amen? And the devil wants to steal your inheritance. You know how many people do not move in the gifts of the Spirit? The devil stole that inheritance from them, didn't he? You know, people are walking around going, well, if the Lord desires to heal me, well, if the Lord wants to give me tongues, if the Lord says it's a part of your inheritance. But the devil steals it. So he came to steal your inheritance. See, you've got to understand that your blood runs from the throne room of God now. If you want to stay in the carnal blood, you don't get an inheritance. Because there is no inheritance in the carnal blood. Only death. But there is an inheritance in the blood of Christ. Everything that you inherit in the carnal blood is garbage. Now, you may have some characteristics of your mom and dad or your family members. They may have some good characteristics, right? But the true characteristics of Christ comes through the blood of Christ. For you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Why? Because you've got a new inheritance. All things are made new. But how many people do not understand that this inheritance is for them through the blood? But if you don't know what your inheritance is, you never get it. It's our responsibility to search out our inheritance. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. What's the second thing he wants to steal? All right. The first thing he wants to steal is your inheritance. The second thing he wants to do is what? Kill. Now, kill is a representation also of deaden, isn't it? Amen? Look it. He wants to steal your inheritance, and he wants to kill your relationship. He wants to deaden your relationship with the Lord. And your relationship with the Lord comes through the blood in the Spirit. Hello? Because the blood always must go first before the Spirit. That's why you and I want to have a relationship in the Spirit. That's why we have a teaching called Deception of Darkness. Three things that the devil doesn't want you to know is your relationship with the Holy Spirit, communion with the Holy Spirit, that He's involved in your everyday life. What's the other one? And the truth of the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. See, now, not relationship or fellowship with in the Spirit won't reveal the truth of the Word to you, will it? So if the devil can remove the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, you won't understand the fullness of the Word. And he just stole that, didn't he? And that's a part of your inheritance. Oh, to God be the glory. So what happens is he comes to steal your inheritance and kill your relationship with the Lord. Does everybody got it?
Amen.
The next thing is destroy. That's the only way he can destroy you, is to kill your relationship with the Lord. Hello? See, we look at this. First of all, why would it have steal, kill, and destroy? If something's dead, what do you want to destroy it for? You know what I'm saying? If he's talking about an individual, If you're killed, you don't need to be destroyed. Has everybody got it?
Amen.
So he comes to steal your inheritance, kill your relationship with the Lord, so he can destroy you. The only way he can destroy you, if you do not know your inheritance, and you lose relationship with the Father. Has everybody got it?
Amen.
Then he can destroy you.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. In fact, he's destroying people left and right because they don't know their inheritance. He's stolen it. They don't have a relationship in the Spirit. He's stolen it. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Does that bring a whole new meaning of steal, kill, and destroy?
Amen.
Good. Hosea 4:6 then. I mean, let's put some icing on the cake. Glory to God. Glory to God. Listen, the Holy Spirit's about to give us a revelation that's very, very important here. So hold on. Hosea chapter 4. So the only way that he can destroy you is to steal your inheritance and kill your relationship. Then he can destroy you. Oh, hallelujah. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Would everybody please read this? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Wow. Now, knowledge is truth, or, wait a minute. Knowledge is what?
Truth.
Actually, knowledge understood is truth. See, because if you don't understand the knowledge, it's not truth. If you don't understand the word, it's not truth. Amen. And that's what sets people free. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have what?
Rejected
knowledge. I also will reject you from being priests for me. Wow. That's somebody close to the Lord, isn't it? And you know what the inheritance a priest has? The Lord. Hallelujah. And because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also what? Forget your children. But now that you have remembered the law of God, and you know your inheritance, you know what's going to happen? Your children are going to get rescued.
Amen.
Whether you're there or not.
Amen.
Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Amen.
Praise God. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We must maintain understanding of Satan's kingdom of deception and fear. We must understand his kingdom of his deception and his fear. People don't realize the deception of the devil.
Amen.
They don't realize it. They don't realize that the devil is trying to steal their inheritance, kill the relationship. The devil wants to bring us in bondage of religion and bondage of the things of the world. How many times has the devil told you, you've got this, you're fearful, you're, oh man, what about this? How are you going to do that? He challenges you in everything, in every area, doesn't he? That's his job. He does it very well. Except for he doesn't understand his payment. Eternal damnation. That's his payment. See, he's being rewarded right now for what he's doing. His self-reward of pride. Amen? He's so caught up in himself, he can't even see. He's the one that blinds people because he's the blindest one created. Amen?
Amen?
He's the blindest one there is right now in the universe. Satan is the blindest one, and his followers, that's why Jesus said, let the blind lead the what? Blind. The blind are leading the blind. So you and I must maintain, we must continue to maintain the understanding of Satan's kingdom, of his deception and his fear. We must maintain and hold fast and stand bold of our inheritance through the blood, our relationship by the blood and the Spirit, and our protection by the blood of the Lamb. Has everybody got it? We must understand. Listen, it's the blood that did everything. The blood of Jesus is what did everything. Nothing happened without the blood. Amen?
Amen?
Oh, hallelujah. Not carnal blood. holy blood. Go to Psalm 15. So again, we must have the knowledge of understanding of Satan's kingdom of deception and his fear, and we must have the understanding of our inheritance by the blood, our relationship by the blood, and our protection by the blood. Amen? Good. Psalm 15. Glorious hallelujahs. Hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Hey, loosen up, man. It's okay. This ain't no religious place. It's holy. It's not religious, it's holy. There's nothing wrong with a little holy joy, holy laughter, holy healing, holy deliverance, and the Holy Ghost. No holy cows, okay? Hallelujah. You hear a lot of people, man, holy cows, man. Ain't no holy cows around here. Dead ones. Hallelujah. Psalm 15. Would you read it with me starting at verse 1? Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Now listen, we just talked about this, didn't we, in Ephesians? Armor of light. He's saying, who's going to walk in my presence? Who can abide in my presence? These are requirements of abiding in His presence. Walks uprightly. Works righteousness. Speaks the truth in His heart. In other words, you can't be honest with God. You can't be honest with nobody else. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. But he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. We talked about that, didn't we? He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall not be moved. In other words, they're going to what? Stand. They're going to stand. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Walks upright, works righteousness, speaks truth from the heart. Doesn't backbite, does no evil, especially against his neighbor. He's never moved, he'll always stand. And where is he going to stand? In the presence of the Lord. That's where you and I stand. Remember, the main purpose of the devil is trying to always get us out of God's presence, isn't he? Trying to get us to walk in the flesh and not in the spirit. Is everybody with me? Go to Mark 3. Mark chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. The Word tells us that the heavens are taken by violence. Sometimes you got to fight for stuff, man. The Word tells us that, you know, the road is narrow and difficult. The longer you know Him and walk with Him, it gets even skinnier. Till you become crushed like a diamond and He shines through you. Till you come to the place where it is no longer you that live. To where you're no longer your desires, your will. And everything is Him. Everything. Everything. Where you know who you are and your inheritance. Because you become one with the Father. Jesus prayed that we would be one with Him and one with each other. Oh, hallelujah. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 24. Would you read it with me? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. Hello? What's the devil trying to always do to me and you? bring division in us, divide, right? Fear, deception, right? He knows you can't stand. And if a house is divided against itself, what's the house? Us. If it's divided against itself, that house cannot what? It can't stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. Everybody got it? So a house divided will not stand. If your house is divided in you, you can't stand. If you're willing to receive part of your inheritance, not the rest, the devil has access to you. Hello? Where there's deception, he has access. Remember, we were reading in Corinthians about casting down thoughts and imaginations. Things that we think are our own thoughts. The devil loves to bring division in those thought patterns, doesn't he? But the Word says, listen, when your obedience is fulfilled, then you're able to destroy and take dominion. So it's not until our obedience is fulfilled. Amen?
Amen?
So you and I must stand, no matter what. We can't allow this house to be divided. Amen? You know how many marriages are destroyed because there's division? You know, the only reason why marriages are destroyed is because the relationship with the Lord. Because you first got to be married to the Lord before you can be married to one another. Amen? If you're not married to the Lord and willing to be surrendered, the devil will have access in your marriage. Oh, hallelujah. Hey. Hallelujah. Would you turn to Daniel chapter 12? Daniel chapter 12. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Daniel chapter 12. This is wonderful. Let's start at verse 1 in Daniel chapter 12. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Read it with me. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that time, and at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who run or turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. That is powerful. Now let me share something with you. The greatest deception right now that's going on is knowledge. The greatest people are dying to get knowledge. The greatest deception is knowledge. Let me explain to you. The Lord warned Daniel that knowledge would increase and people would run to and fro. What were they seeking? Knowledge. People put great effort to get knowledge, don't they? Man, some people sit in front of the computer for days. They become computerites, like mediaites. They get sucked up and they believe everything they get off the internet. People are hunting wealth through the knowledge of the world. They're hunting healing. They're hunting all kinds of things through knowledge. You know what? Knowledge has increased, hasn't it? Hey, it's benefited man, hasn't it? But it's separated God from them also. The greatest deception that you and I have going on in the world right now is the increase of knowledge. Does everybody understand that? It moves people out of their inheritance, out of their relationship, and out of their protection. People seek great knowledge for physical and mental healings and financial, intellectual. They rely on self. Let me explain something. Turn to Genesis chapter 6. In fact, most of the stuff that you get of the worldly knowledge is theory, and theories are lies. It's accusations that are incorrect. You know, people go back in history and they take something of knowledge and bring it down. That was a theory or a lie anyways. And they bring it to a truth. And they stand on it. Amen. They stand on it. But they really don't know the truth. And what does it do? It brings division. Worldly knowledge brings division. The greatest deception right now, and the Lord gave it to Daniel, He said, keep this to the end, is the increase of knowledge. Technology is moving people away from God. Hello? Look at Genesis chapter 5, or chapter 6, I'm sorry. But you and I've got to stand on the truth, don't we? We've got to stand in our relationship. We've got to stand on our inheritance. Or the devil will destroy you. And chapter 6 and verse 1, would you read it with me? Now it came to pass, when man began to multiply in the face of the earth, and the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives from themselves of all whom they chose. Now understand this. The sons of God were known as angels. These were not seeds of Abraham, because he wasn't yet. These were known as angels. You can go to the book of Job in chapter 1. And it says that when the sons of God came before the Lord and Satan came with them, these sons of God are known as angels. And we have a wonderful teaching called Demons, and explains what happens. I'll go to verse 3. And the Lord said, now wait a minute. These sons of God put on flesh. These are not fallen angels. Well, these are what you call the fallen angels. There was approximately 200 of them or so who came to the earth. See, because Satan knew about God was going to send a seed in. He was trying to prevent it from coming. So Satan, of course, he doesn't care about his own. He sends a couple hundred of them or whatever to the earth. They put on flesh because angels can put on flesh. That's why the Bible tells us you never know who you're entertaining. Amen. So they put on flesh and they went into these women of the natural realm. And they produced offsprings. Now when they came down, you've got to understand, they had knowledge, didn't they? Amen. They had knowledge. This is where the mythical or mystic stories of Zeus came and so forth. Because they looked at them as gods. They came and they brought all kinds of knowledge. They taught them how to war. They taught them all kinds of stuff. Which began to separate them from God. They began to rely on self because of this great knowledge. You know, history seems to repeat itself, doesn't it? In verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days. And also afterward, the sons of God came into the daughters of men. And they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Those were offspring of these fallen angels that are now bound in Tartarus, a part of hell. Now, fallen, this is what we call the fallen angels of Satan, aren't we? Now, there are Satans of angels of Satan that are now principalities, aren't they? Angels don't need a body. They have one. Demons need one. That's why they're looking for you. Ooh, hallelujah. So knowledge increased, didn't it? Tremendously, didn't it? They brought knowledge with them. They taught them how to war. They worshiped them. And it began to separate them more and more from God. They began to rely on self instead of the Lord, who was their provider. And it's exactly what's happening right now. Did anybody ever watch the movie Matrix? Look what technology did. Overtook man. It's doing it again right now. Listen, some of these movies that God puts forth, these are ordained by the Lord. He's used His flesh to rescue flesh. Hello?
Amen.
Increase of knowledge. It's dangerous right now. Like I said, there's a benefit to man, isn't there? There is a benefit to man. Man is living more comfortable now than they've ever. I mean, come on, you can get a gazillion stations on TV. And you can watch porno and all sorts of different things. So not only is increase of knowledge benefited man, but it's also been able to destroy man. Amen? I mean, we use it right now, the knowledge that's available to run the gospel through, isn't it? Through radio, through TV. But if you think about how many gospel stations are compared to how many secular stations are, there's no comparison, is there? How many Christian radio stations there are compared to how many Christian radio stations that are not, there's no comparison. Look at in the schools. Knowledge is increasing. But they're removing the Word of God out. They're removing prayer out. The greatest deception right now, my brothers and sisters, is knowledge. Knowledge. He warned us, the increase of knowledge. What will it do? Will it steal your inheritance? And it'll kill your relationship with the Lord. You'll end up worshiping knowledge instead of Him. Oh, hallelujah. You end up relying on self. Think about what knowledge is doing. It's actually even replacing jobs, isn't it? Hey, listen. This knowledge is getting people ready for the slaughter. They sit in front of TVs and computers. Overweight in this country is phenomenal. Amen? It's phenomenal. The devil just fattened us up for the slaughter. Knowledge. Amen? Increase of knowledge. Think about it. It's very serious. We were warned about the increase of knowledge. People are arguing over what they know. You don't have to prove what you know. Amen? You stay in the Spirit, God will prove everything. Your fruits will tell who you know. Not what you know. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Revelation 20. Glory. Get rich schemes. Knowledge. Come on, you can turn on even public TV. Yes, you can get rich by doing this. Just for 3 payments. And you're firstborn. Sounds like... Hallelujah, I'm going to go there. Revelation chapter 20. And verse 4 through 6, would you read it with me? And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God. Now let me share something with you. This word beheaded is more than just what you think. It doesn't just mean physical. It means spiritual. Those who have been beheaded, Paul was beheaded, right? It was an example of me and you needing to be beheaded of the carnal mind. Hello? You and I need to be beheaded of the carnal mind, don't we? We need to take dominion over that so that the mind of Christ can manifest. Knowledge feeds the carnal mind. Knowledge of the world. Do you understand that? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's the knowledge of Christ. The relationship. The knowledge of your inheritance. Does everybody understand that? The knowledge of your inheritance and your relationship with the Lord. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And they were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the Word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their what? Foreheads. What does this mean? Mind. Or on their hands. Works. Hello? Praise God. And they lived and and they lived and reigned with Christ for what? A thousand years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the thousand years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Glory to God. And we talked some about that already. So you've got to understand something here, that the mark of the forehead is a representation of thoughts and knowledge. You know, people, we see all these kind of movies with this. 666 or this binary code up on the head or on the hand. Oh, it's good. It's the mark. If you get the mark, let me tell you, they're way out. It has got nothing to do with that. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. You know why it's spoken that way? Because it's carnally understood, not spiritually. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15. Remember, the word says, as a man thinketh, so he is. Amen. What's the devil trying to do? Put fear in people. Amen. He's doing a good job, doesn't it? Amen. People see something happen. That must be the mark of the beast. Because it's carnally understood, not spiritually. Oh, hallelujah. First Corinthians chapter 15. See, if they know their inheritance, they wouldn't be so freaked out. The word says that you are not to fear, right? In verse 58, would you read it with me? Hallelujah. Therefore, my beloved, be what? Steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So you're laboring unto the Lord, not unto yourself. That's works, isn't it? Man, I need to get more money. I need to get rich. Oh, I need to get more knowledge. I need to get this. Oh, I got a plan. It's a quick scheme. That's works. That's works. It all comes here first before it comes here. Amen? That's why Saul was out killing people with his hands. See, it was a representation of authority also. People with authority. And they were thinking, because they were thinking the words of the devil. All of Saul's knowledge did him no good because he didn't have any understanding of it. And then when he finally got through with the Spirit, he said, forget all that, man. Yeah. Now I preach Christ crucified. Yeah. All of that knowledge that I had doesn't mean poop. That's all I care about is Christ crucified. That's all I care about is my inheritance through the blood. I care about is my relationship with Him. I'm an ambassador of the truth.
Yes.
Amen. Though I have many revelations. Hallelujah. I don't count myself above anything. But it's Him. And only Him. Woo! Glory to God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's my inheritance, part of my inheritance. I got a new tongue, part of my inheritance. Glory to God. Get a new mind. Hallelujah. The mind of Christ. He's the Holy Spirit. It's part of my inheritance. Glory to God. Remember Jesus said, the Father's give me and everything. I give the Holy Ghost everything. No relationship with the Holy Ghost. How are you going to get everything? Well, I read the Word. Well, you don't understand it. But I memorize it. I can even memorize the page numbers. Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Is everybody all right?
Hallelujah.
Don't be offended now. Hallelujah. And verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth,
Amen.
To which He has called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, what? Stand fast. Hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle, which was the revelation given to them by the Word of God. Amen? Stand fast by your traditions, spiritual ethics. We have spiritual ethics, don't we? Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Glory, hallelujah. Glory to God. 2 Peter chapter 3. In verse 14. Therefore, beloved, is everybody there? Read it together. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are sometimes hard to what? Understand without the Spirit. Which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of wicked, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Ooh, that's powerful. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Yes, the knowledge will increase. Now you get around the carnal, they talk about how much knowledge they have and how much wealth they have, or things that they were going to do. They don't speak too much about expanding the kingdom of God and bringing glory to His name. See, you and I are already wealthy. It's to be rich in the Spirit. That's the ultimate goal. Rich in the Spirit, dead to self. Expand His kingdom. Remember, he said, don't build your treasures on gold and silver, right? Oh, hallelujah. Acts chapter 20, and verse 20, let's see here. Ooh. Verse 22. Read it with me, please. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. How many of y'all want to be bound to the Spirit? Hallelujah! Not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testify in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Now, Paul knew it, didn't he? He knew it. But it didn't bother him, because he knew his inheritance. And he had his relationship. But none of these things, what? Move me. None of these things, what? Move me. None of these trials, tribulations, desires, none of these things move me. Whoa. Nor do I count my life dear to myself. Let me tell you something. Until you finally don't count your life dear to yourself, that's when nothing can move you. But if you're counting your life dear to yourself, you'll be moved. So that I may finish my race with joy and the mystery which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Whew. Has everybody got it? Nothing shall move us if we're in that place. Galatians chapter 5. You know, the Spirit's been giving us some powerful teachings about not being moved.
Amen.
Over and over. It's like, wow. You know why? Because there's going to be such a flood of the enemy that's going to come. Knowledge is increasing. Listen, the devil's ploy also is prosperity. Wealth is going to hit this country greatly. Many believers are going to fall out of position. Oh, hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5. And verse 1, would you read it with me? Stand fast, therefore, in the freedom or the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In other words, stand fast in the freedom that you have. Freedom where? In the Spirit. And don't get yoked up into bondage again. How many times has God delivered us from something that we wanted to go back to? Find ourselves going back to the same old thing. When we tasted a moment of freedom, but we chose to go back to the same old thing. Because the devil convinced us that was part of our freedom. Because his greatest weapon is deception. Come on, you deserved it now. You earned it now. You can go back there. That's a part of your freedom now. Yeah, come on. You can do that. It's all right. And as soon as you do this, he puts the handcuffs on. You're bound. Got you. Oh, you love knowledge. Oh, you love that stuff. See, the devil knows exactly how to trick us. There's that sickness. That was a fruit from what we just went back to. What happened? Disobedience opens the door to demonic activity. Amen?
Amen.
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, but don't abuse it. Go forward, don't go back. If you find yourself going back to any of those things that you've been delivered from, it's an abomination to the Lord. And you've gone back into bondage. Amen? You cannot go back. You must go forward.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Philippians chapter 1. in verse 27. Only let your what? Conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of the salvation that from God. Whew. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. All praise be to God. One spirit and one mind. Stand. Stand. Hebrews 12. In verse 1. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's read it. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. So let us go forward. Laying every weight aside in the sin which easily snares us, brings us back into what? Bondage. 1 Peter chapter 5. And then one more scripture. Is everybody okay?
Yeah.
You going to stand?
Yeah.
Praise God. Now the Spirit's been revealing to us things of the plan of the enemy for weeks. Know them. 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse 6. Hallelujah. Therefore what? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober. That's one mind and one spirit. Be vigilant. Endure. Stand. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour or trick or destroy by stealing their inheritance, killing their relationship. It says what? Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Everybody's going through it. So you can't do it. Woe is me. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered while you stood in suffering, he's going to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So you can go on to the next part. In Revelation 3. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, my Lord. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 8, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, or say that they are believers and are not, but lie. Indeed, I make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and on the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says tonight. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We honor you, we bless you, Lord, and we thank you for the warnings. And again, Father, we ask for strength to stand. We thank you for exposing the powers of darkness and their traps to snare us. Lord, but we hold on to the revelation knowledge of your truth that comes from your throne room. Lord, we stand on your word that of our inheritance that we receive through the blood of your Son. We receive our relationship through the blood of your Son and your Spirit. We receive it, Lord. And we trust you. And Lord, things that we've touched that have been unclean, we repent for even right now. Lord, deceiving knowledge that is keeps separating works, sicknesses and diseases that have been put upon us, we break ourselves from them. We loose ourselves from them, from those lusts and those soul ties, those things that are involved and entangled in the affairs of this world that are trying to catch up on us, Lord. We break their powers off of us in the name of Jesus, and we bind ourselves to the Anointed One and His anointing, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we promise to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Hallelujah!